Good to be back from a couple of weeks away, and we had a bit of a break, which was nice. But it's also lovely to be back. I really like the beginning of the year. It's time for fresh initiatives, new ideas, new opportunities. We'll be drawing up new rosters, new ministries that you can be part of. And there's lots of things to anticipate about this year. And so we do hold a lot of gratefulness and thanks and expectation around the year that is to come. And today, Psalm 98, 99, next week, 100 the following week. And then we'll begin a new series in Luke. So if you'd like to be reading ahead, Luke 12 for the beginning of this year, which backs up to where we got at the beginning of last year. Then a series on Elijah and Elisha in 1 Kings 17 and following. And then we're going to be doing a series in Deuteronomy, a series in Proverbs, and toward the end of the year, a series in Romans, which will actually bring us to Romans 8 just before Christmas. So wonderful opportunity to open up God's word in this year to come. This is, as Elizabeth has intimated, an enthronement psalm. It's a psalm of celebration, and it's part of a group in the Psalms which have the words, "Sing to the Lord a new song." And when I started my prep on this earlier this week, I realise that I hate it when people tell me to sing when I don't feel like singing, or dance when I don't feel like dancing, or when people crack jokes but there's nothing to laugh about, when people are naive about the suffering and challenge in human life and around the nations, when people skate over real pain in life and pretend everything's fine and it's not. And as this new year begins, you may well not feel like singing a new song. I remember the awkward conversations that I used to have with my mum and dad about suffering in the world, and particularly with them about their old age, their senility and their future deaths. And they would say, "Oh, Rodney," they'd always call me Rodney. "Oh, Rodney, let's not talk about that now. It's all too depressing." But it was necessary, and as they approached their deaths in 2011 and 2017, I was glad that we'd had hard conversations about loss and funerals and wills and grief and life beyond death. I don't care for idealism, denial, or pretense. Certainly not for a version of Christianity that has this unfounded, triumphalistic optimism that is not prepared to wrestle with the real issues in the world. Look at what has headlined this week in the news. We've had people killed with an Islamist suicide bomber in Nairobi. We've had a bomb blast in the Syrian city of Manbij, people innocently killed. We've had the horrendous murder, the shameful murder of a 21-year-old student in Melbourne. Life is not all celebration. And so we come this morning to Psalm 98. How do we understand a psalm such as this? Is this denial, unfounded optimism? Or is it something far more profound and significant than that? The psalm can be thought about in terms of three stanzas: a call to sing, past remembrance, a call to orchestra, here and now, let's play, let's celebrate. We might see that as a call to resistance as well as celebration. And then a call to creation, to future hope. This psalm has a close relationship with Psalm 96. Kirk spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, and I'd certainly encourage you to listen to his presentation on Psalm 96. When he spoke about 96, Kirk talked about winning the grand final and then singing the team song as sort of in keeping with Psalm 98. Or perhaps getting a new job and then going out for a celebratory meal together. Or perhaps the birth of a new child and then the family rejoicing, taking photographs. These psalms celebrate a wonderful victory, a celebratory moment in life. But they are about bigger events than even the birth of a child, the getting of a new job, or something of that sort. These psalms are about salvation. And in Psalm 98, one of the key words in the psalm in the first three verses is the word salvation. You'll see it there three times, in verse 1, again in verse 2, at the end of verse 3. All the earth has seen the salvation of our God. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the word salvation. We've sort of narrowed it down a bit, made it a bit ungrounded in our current usage. Its core meaning in Scripture, particularly in these Old Testament Psalms, however, is very earthy. When the psalmist writes the word salvation, the overriding event that is in the psalmist's mind is the Exodus. Being saved for Israel meant coming out from slavery in Egypt. Being saved was not about going to heaven. It was about freedom. Freedom from slavery. Passing through the Red Sea. Victory over the tyrant. Having new hope. Traveling to the mountain, receiving the law of God, entering the land of promise, eating figs and grapes, building homes, living in peace, loving God and neighbor. That was the very earthy contours of salvation. The first salvation song in Scripture, I think, is Exodus 15. We read there, "The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord has become my salvation." And this is a song of Moses. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord, a man of war. Pharaoh's chariots destroyed. This is worth singing about. And so this Psalm 98 is very grounded in the history of the people of Israel. And in Israel's history, these Exodus events became known to the surrounding nations. And so in 98, 4 through 6, you'll find that the psalmist is saying that the ends of the earth have seen. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. The nations need to know that God sets people free. God is greater than world powers. God commands empires. God mocks idols. God controls creation. Rivers turn to blood when God commands. Gnats and locusts do his bidding. God turns light into darkness and darkness into light. God parts water. Everyone who has ever been enslaved needs to know that when God promises salvation, he promises freedom from tyrants. Freedom from violence. Freedom from all that distorts and destroys human life. So in 98, 4 to 6, gather the orchestra, get the harpists, get the singers together, blow the ram's horn, burst into jubilant song and celebrate. Because the Lord is greater than all other gods. The nations need to know that. The nations that are struggling today with tyrant rulers and cruel military movements, with civil war, with endemic poverty, the nations need to know God saves from tyranny for freedom. Late last year, as we were getting ready for Christmas at the end of 2018, in China, at the Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu, on Sunday the 9th of December and Monday the 10th of December, 100 members of the church were arrested. The pastors, the elders, men, women and children. And today, as we speak about this, many of them have not been seen or heard of again. This is a letter handwritten by one of the elders of that church named Li Yingkwang. He was the last elder to be arrested, and he wrote this a few hours before his arrest. It came to Christianity Today, who've translated and published it. Let me read you what he wrote about the persecution that broke out on the Early Rain Covenant Church on Sunday, 9 December 2018. This is what that text says. Beloved brothers and sisters and fellow workers, thank the Lord. Just as the year 2018 is about to end, God has given us a reward in the form of this large-scale persecution that arrived on December 9. Since yesterday evening until noon today, over 100 pastors, elders, staff, brothers and sisters have been taken away. As of now, we don't know where they are, and even if we did, it would be difficult to help them. But thankfully, we know for certain that the Lord's loving face is shining upon them. They are within the gracious, sovereign providence of the Lord. He will be with them in the midst of their chains and trials. Beloved brothers and sisters, do you have joy? Are you rejoicing in the fact that you are suffering with Christ because of this church? Do you know that we are blessed? The Lord is bestowing on us poor people today treasures of glory from heaven. The Lord himself is bestowing on us weak people comfort from heaven. The Lord Jesus is shining on us blind people his great light. Those of us brothers and sisters standing on the front lines of the gospel war will earn great spiritual riches. Thank the Lord for being with us in this trial. Thank the Lord for cultivating us according to his true word. Thank the Lord for training us through these days of hardship. Thank the Lord for sculpting us through today's persecution. May the Lord give us great joy and true hope and make us strong through reliance on him. What these next 2 days or few weeks hold, we do not know. These days are in the hand of the Lord. Just as he turns the dew into frost, the rain into snow, just as he makes the fragrance of the plum blossom waft across the bitter cold, we're in the hands of the Lord. How wonderful it would be if, because of his suffering, we might be able to give off the sweet fragrance of the gospel. That's what this is. What a remarkably grounded response to horrendous injustice. Arrest, persecution, jails, modern-day China's government opposing the Christian gospel. And yet throughout the letter, the language, give thanks, rejoice, celebrate. And sometimes our celebration is actually an act of resistance. Even at the worst of times, it's us saying, you cannot quieten us. You cannot quieten the gospel. You cannot stop the celebration of Christ's grace. Sometimes singing is an act of resistance. But there is more in Psalm 98 in the final three verses, 7 through 9. There is a sure hope in Psalm 98 that one day the Lord will come and judge the world in righteousness and tyrants and evil will be completely overthrown. In Psalm 98, 7 to 9, this causes the seas to burst into song, the fish to celebrate, the rivers to clap their hands together, and the mountains to sing for joy. The whole creation bursts into song with this future hope. Here we have echoes of the prophet Isaiah and a foretaste of the book of Revelation. But I chose Romans 8 as the accompanying reading today. That passage is also a celebration of Christ's enthronement. The enthronement of Jesus over the world, and many of the images of Psalms like 98 are the content of Paul's text in Romans chapter 8, 31 and following. And in the middle of that passage, Paul quotes Psalm 44 when he writes the words, for your sake we are facing death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Chinese Christians know about that, don't they? Those who trusted Christ in first century Rome were suffering. So have those who've been part of the people of Israel through the generations. And yet, in Romans 8, 34, God is enthroned and Christ is praying for his people. Praying for his people by name, interceding for his people at the right hand of the throne over the universe. And in Romans 8:31, Paul writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? Because God is the greatest Saviour. And in Romans 8:37, in all these things, persecution, famine, danger, death, we are more than conquerors. There's a sort of a high vision for life that causes singing in the Psalms, in Exodus, in Revelation, and throughout Scripture. And it's not a denial that the world is tough, that life is hard, that suffering is real. It's a recognition that we are caught up in this amazing Exodus story. It began for Israel with this grounded public event where the people were set free from tyranny. It continued throughout the Old Testament with a return from exile, with the building of a second temple, and then the great Exodus story incorporated the Exodus of Jesus from death, from the grave, from burial, from the power of Satan into resurrection life, into the hope of new creation. And you and I joined that Exodus story when we came to Christ. Songs like Psalm 98 are sometimes the overflow of gratitude and joy, and sometimes they are the radical acts of countercultural resistance and hope. You and I have been set free from the power of tyranny, of sin, of death, of Satan, free to act as God's stewards and witnesses in our families and homes and workplaces and schools and neighborhoods until we go to be with the Lord or until he returns. So sing about that, the psalmist would say. The new school year is about to commence, has commenced already for some. Work and family routines will begin to kick in again. And who knows what hard times this church will face this year? Who knows what the challenges will be? We have many prayerful directions that we will seek to take. Outreach into Springwood, setting apart new leaders, commencing new ministries. There will be sickness, probably deaths among the membership of our church. There may be conflicts we need to address, forgiveness we need to offer, repentance and humility we will need to display. It's not as though smooth sailing is God's promise for a faithful witnessing church to the gospel. But throughout the year, let's hold these precious Psalms 95 through to 100 in our hearts as the year commences. Let's sing a new song to the Lord, sometimes because there's reason to celebrate and sometimes because there's reason to courageously resist. Sometimes prompted by joy and celebration, sometimes by a radical act of counter-cultural hope. Psalm 98 would exhort us to rejoice in the Lord, to bear witness to the gospel in Springwood, and let's keep praying for our brothers and sisters in China. Let me pray for us. Father, help us to be caught up in this glorious hope of the gospel. And Psalm 98, not a psalm denying suffering or hardship or challenge, but a song celebrating in the face of, in resistance to, because of the great gospel of freedom from tyranny. And Father, we pray that that news would continue to be on our lips as this year begins, and that it would shape our lives and our testimonies to our neighbours and families in Springwood, throughout the mountains, throughout this nation, and around the world. May we join with brothers and sisters in China, those who today sit in prison cells, whose families haven't heard any news of them, and celebrate the hope of the gospel and the power of God to save. And Lord, may you be powerful in China on behalf of this church that we've heard about today, and here in Springwood on behalf of this church, and in Winmalee and throughout the churches. May your power and your glory and your liberating grace be evident in all the stuff of life, and may that message proclaimed joyfully through the church this year to come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.